Blog Talk Radio.
And everybody shout and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So tonight, I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what your problem is. Jesus is in the house tonight. When you can't move the mountains that's standing in your way, I came to tell you God can. I said God can.
Well, praise the Lord and God bless you. Yes, God can. I don't care what you need, God can do it. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Wake Up to Jesus broadcast. I'm your host. My name is Apostle Lonnie Starnes. I want you to stay tuned today, because remember, whatever you need, God can. Stay tuned.
When you can't find the answers to all your doubts and fears, when you are needing someone to wipe away your tears,
God can.
Yes, he can. Thank
God. Can.
Come on, say,
God can do more than you could ever ask or think. He holds all power in his mighty hand. When you can't see the way, just remember this.
And you can't feel your broken heart. Somebody tell me. Oh, yeah. When you can't find the courage to make a brand new start, see?
Bless you. Good morning to you. Good day, whatever time of day it is in your neck of the woods. God bless you. I'm your host. My name is Apostle Lonnie Starnes. And I want you to know God can. No matter what we need or what you ever need, what you're experiencing, whatever you're going through, God can deliver. He can heal. He can set free. He can make ways out of no way. God can. We got to keep that confidence today that God can do it, whatever it is that needs to be done in your life or in my life. God can do it. He can do abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is in total control if you allow him. I talked about yesterday allowing God to come in. You know, I bought a tract. It's been many years ago. I want to say 30 years ago. And it slips my memory, the name of the tract. I wish I could remember. I'd go get it. But it talks about letting God become on the throne. See, in your life prior to salvation, you are on the throne, especially when you got grown and you left your mother and your father. You did whatever you wanted to do. You control your life. You went, if you wanted to stay up all night, you did. If you wanted to go to such and such place, you went, provided you had the finances. You did what you wanted to do. But when you get saved, when you become born again, things must change. You no longer should be on the throne in your life. You should permit Jesus to come in and rule your life. You get off the throne and let him get on the throne. Now, the amazing part about it, even though God got all power and can do all things, he will not take over your life. No, he will not. That's a choice that you would have to make. And that's why my topic today is let the king in. See, you is the only one that can let him in. He's not going to break in. He's not going to come in and take over. You must let him in. Let's go to Psalms 24, and let's look at verse, let's go to Psalms 24, and let's start reading at verse number 7, Psalms 24, and let's take a look at verse 7, if you don't mind, Psalms 24, and we'll take a look at verse 7, that's what I want to do, Psalms 24, and I want to look at verse 7, all right? Why are you getting that? Let's just talk about that for a minute. Psalms 24 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now, he says he'll come in, but you got to let him in. He's not going to break in. God is not going to break in your house. He's not going to break in. He said, you know, if you let him in, he'll come in. Now, that's kind of confusing. I know it is. Because, you know, we know God got all power. We've been so accustomed, at least I think we have. We have been so accustomed to people just bogarting our lives. We've been so accustomed to that. That people just take over and do what? Like the Internal Revenue. They tell you they want a certain amount of tax, and they take it. You work, they take it. They take the tax. You go to the grocery store, you buy a soda. They don't ask you, can I have the tax? They just take it. If the soda's a dollar and the tax is 3 cents or 8, whatever it is, it's already incorporated in the bill. So they don't ask you to give it back to them. Now, North Carolina is the only state that I know right now as an incorporation of your church. They take the tax from you. They don't give you tax exempt. My church doesn't get tax exempt. There, what it does, their tax exempt is like this. They take it, and then at the end of the year you file it. Then they'll mail it back to you. So God is the only one that I know that is so humble and meek that he won't just take things. He won't just take control. He can do it. Now, God can do it, but he doesn't do that. See, God could just take over my life. He could just take over your life. He could just make us do whatever he wants us to do. We could be like robots, and whatever God says, what we do. But no, he gives you and I the permission to allow him to come in and take over your life. It's like screen sharing. Like screen sharing on your computer. All of you know about that now. there's a program they call Stream Sharing, and one they call Follow Me, and they go share my stream, and you put it on your computer, and then the other person put it on their computer. And I don't care where they are. When you load the program in your computer, it's going to give you a code number. Then they load the program in their computer, and then you send them the code by telephone or email or whatever. And once they put that code in, everything on your computer becomes accessible to them. They can look all over your computer. But guess what? They couldn't do it until you give them. The first time that I noticed it was Verizon, about 4 or 5 years ago. We was doing something. They said, "Can I share your stream? Let me do it." And they told me what to do, and bam, they took over. You could see their cursor, moving my cursor on my stream. I said, "Wow, this took over my stream." Well, that's the way God works. God can take over. The difference is, he don't need no permission. He can take over. But he gives you an outer privilege to allow him to lead our life and to conduct our life and to bless us. But it's our choice. Now, let's look at that scripture again. Let's look at that scripture again. I'm excited about that scripture. That scripture really, really blesses me. It blesses me. It blesses me every time I look at that scripture. I think about the blessings of God and all the things that he's done. Let's look at Psalms 24. I'm going to put it on the screen. Okay, Psalms 24. And let's look at verse number. Okay, let's do it this way. I got to get this. Psalms 24. Now let's look at verse number. Okay, there it is. I didn't do this. There we go. All right. I'm going to take you to it now. A little slow getting there, but we'll get there. Because I want you to see the scripture. And I want to just tell you. I want you to see it. Psalms 24, verse number 7. It says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." It's something you have to do. Then the next verse says, "Who is this King of glory?" Then the answer comes, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." Then the next verse says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Look at verse 9. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King, Baba Yasa, of glory shall come in." Now, this is telling us that God will let us, he'll come into our life, but you got to let him in. He won't break in. He will not break in. God can break in. God can just take control of your life. He can take control of my life. God can do whatever he wants to do. But what I love about God, he will not make me serve him. He could, but he won't. And Joshua said, "Choose you this day." It's my choice. Choose you this day. Now, the Bible says in Revelations, chapter number 1 and verse number 6, the Word of God says, "And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, God has done that for you and I. He's done that for you and I. But guess what? You got to let him in. Now, he's already done the work. Just like he's already given you now power over all unclean spirits. But if you don't exercise the power, the unclean spirit will destroy you and destroy me. The ball is in my court. The ball is in your court. Are you listening to me? You make that decision. My theme is let the king in. But now, Donna Lawrence sung a song, "There's a King in You." And that's true if you let him in. But if you don't let him in, he's not there. If you don't let God in, if you don't open that door and let God in. Revelation 3:20 said, "I stand at the door and I knock. I'm knocking at the door. Now, it's up to you to let him in. It's up to you to let him in. God's already made you a king. He made you a priest, but it's up to you to let him in. You got to let him in. If you don't let God in your life, you're going to struggle all your life, all of your life. You'll be struggling all your life. You'll be struggling all of your life. You'll never stop struggling. Never. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But now guess what? That's up to you. You got that choice now. God made you the king. He made you the priest. But now, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to let him be king in your life? Or are you going to keep right on trying to rule your life? What are you going to do? Are you going to let God be king in your life? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, where is he at? He's at the door knocking on your heart. See, that's hard to understand, like I said, because in the world that we live in, nobody asks permission. They don't ask permission to take your taxes. They just take it. Bam. Take it. You get your house roof. Got a leak, had repaired. The man comes there. He gives you a price. He says, okay, that's $500. And bam. And then he totals the bill up. And when you get the bill, it's $500 plus tax. You go into a supermarket and you buy groceries. And you got your calculator. You're putting out everything that you bought, the price of it. And so when you go to the register, you check out. Guess what? They add it all up, and then they put tax on it. They don't ask you. They do not ask you, can I take tax today? No. Would you like for me to take tax today? But God, on the other hand, tells you that I'll come in your life, and I'll rule your life, but I'm asking you to let me in. Give me permission. Give me access. Not that I need access, because I can take access, but if I take access, then that takes away your free will. See, our Heavenly Father is so merciful and so kind and so wonderful to us that he gives you and I free will. Now, I know some of you listening today, you're thinking, well, God is God. God is God. God don't change. God is God. But guess what? He gives you privilege, the privilege. Why do you think a man can commit suicide? Because that's his free will. If God was taking over a man's life, no one would ever commit suicide. No one would ever commit a crime. But no, God gives each individual the privilege to act out his free will. Now, that's why you got to learn to harness that will and bring that will into subjection so it can submit to God. Because if you don't bring that will into subjection, submit to God, to our Heavenly Father, you'll never be successful. Never, ever. I found out success comes when I submit to the Lord. No matter how it looks, but when I submit to the Lord, it may look like I'm not going right, but it's always right. Because God he's always right. He never makes a mistake. The Lord never makes a mistake. And whatever he says is right, whatever he does is right. So that's why you need to let the king in. Let the king in. Let him come in and be king of your life. Let the Lord be. You know, we try everybody else, but what about God? You know, I'm getting in trouble with people because I'm teaching people, especially preachers, they don't want me to say this. They want me to point everybody to them. But what happens when the preacher dies? What happens when the preacher is sick? What happens when he's asleep? Excuse me. Who are you going to call on then? Wouldn't it be better to go right direct to God? Wouldn't it be better to have a communion with God or a relationship with God? One of my evangelists that brought out Wednesday evening that most people want to just be in church, but they don't have a relationship. isn't it much better to have a relationship with the Creator himself, with your own Savior, than to go through me? Now, I love God, and I'm saved, and I'll do much as I can, but what about when I'm asleep? What happens when I'm asleep? How are you going to get through? See, I'm telling you, there is a relationship that you can have with God the Father and with your King, Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus. He says, I'll come in to your life. God promised that he'll come in. Do you hear me? The Lord, the scripture said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. But if you don't lift the gate in front of our church, there's a gate, one of those iron gates, flexible with folding gates, one of those folding gates. Now, you can't get into church until you unlock those locks and then lift the gates. Once you lift the gates, then you are accessible to the door. But you can't even get to the door until you open the gate. Many of us got the gate of our heart closed from Jesus. We're still trying to do what we want to do, and then when we need Jesus, we take it more like a handyman. And I'm just being honest now. We take Jesus more like a handyman. when we don't need him, we don't call him. But it's when the sewage is backed up, and then we go, Lord Jesus, come and stop the sewage. Amen. It's when we need groceries on the shelf and in the refrigerator. Lord Jesus, I need some groceries. It's when your check has been cut off or there's a divorce or something. Then you, Lord Jesus, fix this for me. We call him as a fix-it man. And he is a fix-it man. Never, 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 never doubt that Jesus can fix anything. I teach that over and over. Jesus Christ can fix anything. But why not let him be king in your life, be ruler of your life? Let him get on the throne in your life so you don't have to keep calling him. Because he'll direct your paths. He'll direct your steps. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll prevent a lot of things that's happening in your life. He'll prevent it. He'll show you not to do it. If you listen to what I love about Jesus, what I've learned about Jesus, even though he's on the throne in my life, I still must listen. Even though I let him on the throne, there's a part that I have to do. It's called listening, obeying. The scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. How do you obey someone that you've never seen? Well, first of all, you got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. You have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Just like you had to learn to walk naturally. It's obvious that you had to learn how to walk. Not any of us was born in this world walking. We weren't born walking. We was not born walking. We had to learn how to walk. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. We have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. We don't get saved and already know how to walk in the Spirit. We're not a buffalo. We're not a cow. I've seen calves born and just get right up and start walking. We're not that. No, we have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. We have to learn. I've seen puppies born, come right out and start walking. Look, you and I don't do that. We're humans. And so spiritually, the same way, we have to learn how to walk in the Spirit the way we had to learn how to walk naturally. Isn't that right? It's like saving money. It was a friend of mine, Reverend Frank Dillahunt. Some of you guys know him. It's been about 30 years ago now. He was in my garage, and he was telling me a story how he learned how to save money. He said he couldn't save no money. He said he worked, and every dime that he made, he'd always spend it. He said he'd get paid, and then he would say, well, I'm going to save this $200. I'm going to save $100. And he said before the next week, he would be gone again. And he said he was always going to the boss man borrowing money. He said one day the boss told him, said, Frank, said, you're wasting all your money. Will you let me save some money for you? And he said, he thought about it. He said, what is going to hurt? I'm not saving anything anyway. He said his boss started taking out $5 a week. Only $5 now. Notice he had been trying to save $50, $100. Never could. He said the principle that he learned from that was save what you can save and don't try to save what you can't save. If you make $200 a week and you have a family, how could you possibly save $150? You have groceries you got to buy. You have lights you have to pay. You have gas bill you have to pay. God forbid, maybe you have an automobile. You have insurance you have to pay. If you have your own house, you have to pay your insurance. Come on now. You got to pay your life insurance, your health insurance. How could you save $150 out of $200? That is completely ludicrous. You can't do it. The only way you can save is save what you don't have to live with. Now, maybe out of your $150, maybe there's $5 out of your $200. Maybe there's $5 a week you can save. Now, guess what? If you save $5 a week, how much is that for 4 weeks? That's $20, right? 40 weeks, you got what? 10 weeks, you got what? 1 week, if 4 weeks in 1 month, you got $20 that you didn't save last month when you were trying to save $100. In 2 months, you got $40 that you didn't save last year. Hello, somebody. That's $5 a week. And you know what? I incorporated that in my life. That was in 19, what year? I want to say 1980. I put that in my life, and I started doing that. And that was the first time in my life that I took a vacation and came back and wasn't worried about my lights being turned off. Because you know what? I had saved that money. $5 a week. I started at $5 a week. I saved it. $5. Nobody could make me do it. I had to do it on my own. And you save $5 a week times 10 months. That's what? $200? I had not saved $200 a year before. At 12 months, what's that? $240? I had not saved $240 before. I'm going to ask you a question. How much did you save last year? You probably was trying to save more than you could afford to save. You can't save what you can't save. Remember that. It's the same thing with Jesus, right? The only way that Jesus is going to be able to work in your life, in my life, we got to submit to him. Now, if we're not willing to submit to him, how can he work? Does it change his power? Does it mean that Jesus is powerless? No. Jesus still is yet omnipotent. He has all power. There's never a shortage in power from God and from Jesus. When Jesus rose from the grave, he said, all power in heaven and in earth is in my hand. There is no power that Jesus Christ doesn't have. But, what is the but? If you don't permit him to rule your life, you will never experience the power. You'll see everyone else experiencing it, those that are submitting to God, and you'll see God blessing them, but he won't be blessing you. You'll say, why isn't God blessing me? It's not that God don't want to bless you. It's not that God won't bless you. You won't let him in. So you have to let the king in. And then when you let him in, you're going to let him rule. So you have to, when you let the king in, then you have to now let him rule. You can't take over now. You can't start driving. Let the king drive. Let Jesus, you know what I found out in my, I've been pastoring 30 years. And I need to write a book on this because I noticed that all the people that I know, just well, I'll say the majority of people that I know, they get put on this great front that they love Jesus and they can make this face and they can make this show and this pretense. But when it comes down to obeying what the words say, they don't do that. Let me tell you this story. This lady was in my church, and we're talking about 30 years ago, 25 years ago at least, 25 years ago, thereabout. And she came to me one day, and she said, Pastor Stotts, you know, I was an automobile mechanic. That was my occupation in the world, in the secular world. That was my business. That was my job. That was my skill. That was my trade. I became a mechanic at 15 years old, and I worked for 46 years before I retired. But get back to the story. This lady came to me, and she was a member of my church. She said, Pastor, would you do me a favor? I said, okay. I want to go down south. I want to go down to South Carolina, and I want to drive my car. Could you check my car over and let me know, is it safe? Should I drive it? Well, at that time, I'd been a mechanic about 20 years, I guess. And when I was young, and it's not boasting, everyone that know me, I used to build race cars and the whole nine yards. I didn't take the color of my skin to say that was going to limit me. I did anything and everything to automobiles. And God blessed me. He honored that, and I thank God for that. It was a trade that he gave me. I could weld. I could do just about anything you name. But anyway, I checked the car over, and I found out she had various problems. I mean various problems, serious problems. Problems that would inhibit her or permit her from making that long trip 800 miles safe. I mean, it could, but it was very possible. It was more possible for her to break down than to go there and come back. So when she came in, Pastor, how was it? I said, daughter, I don't think it's safe. It doesn't seem that it's safe. If I was you, I wouldn't drive it. Well, you know what she did? She went to another mechanic. He checked the car. He charged her a few dollars, whatever it was. She came back to our church, and she was letting me know how wrong I was. Hi, Pastor Stocks. I went to this other mechanic. He told me there was nothing wrong with my car. He said my car was just perfect. I just needed a tune-up, and I could go south. I said, okay. Okay, all right. So she left. They got down to the end of the turnpike, New Jersey turnpike. And the next day they was back. So I said, well, I seen the car sitting in front of my place, across the street from my place. I said, that's Sister So-and-so. She's back. So when we had just a little problem, so the mechanic told me to bring it back, and he'd take care of that, okay? He charged her, what, $100, $200, whatever it was, and they left again. Oh, boy, they was gone. We didn't have no cell phones back then. And when they got in Washington, D.C., I think it was Washington, D.C., she stopped at a payphone and called me. Pastor Stocks? I said, yes, dear. I want you to know the car's running good. Uh-huh. Car running good. Uh-huh. The car running good. Ain't no problem. I said, well, praise the Lord. You were wrong, Pastor Stocks. I said, okay. Praise the Lord. That's great. I mean, it's okay for me to be wrong if it's going to be a blessing. If it's going to enhance your life and I got to be wrong for you to be blessed, okay, it's all right. They got in North Carolina. This lady called me. Pastor, I want you to know that this car was running good. Mm-hmm. That's what she said. Mm-hmm. It run good, no problem. Mm-hmm. It run good, no problem. Everybody so, they said, like my car. I said, well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I said, okay. That's all I said. They went on to South Carolina. They made it to South Carolina. Yes. They was down there about a couple of days, 3 days, whatever it was, and they headed back to New York. Okay, They got back as far as North Carolina, running good. Oh, my God, they got through Richmond, Virginia, running good. But when they came up in the District of Columbia and Washington, D.C. area, the car cut off, and they couldn't start it. The car had ran out of oil. The engine had locked up. They called me on the phone. She did. Pat Starks, we got a little problem here. I said, what's the problem, baby? You know how I talk. What's the problem, honey? She says, the car cut off. We can't get it started. It won't turn. What do you think it is? I said, do you have your mechanic's number? No, I shouldn't have said that, but I did do that. I said, do you have your mechanic's number? Well, I already knew what it was because I knew the engine was burning oil, and I had an idea what it was, that the engine had thrown a rod. It was gone. So anyway, she said, I called him, but he don't answer. And I just thought, I said, well, you know, he know more about it. And that wasn't fair of me, was it? That was bad of me when I was bad. Excuse me for being bad. I said, well, baby, he know more about it than I do because, remember, I told you I didn't think it would go down south and come back. And remember, he's the one that told you that it was nothing wrong with it and that you could make that trip. He's the one charged you about $300 or $400. Maybe I shouldn't have said all that, but I did. And I says, keep calling, he'll answer. You know what? That car never made it back to New York. It never made it back. You know why? Because she wouldn't listen to instruction. And that's why some of us in Jesus can't make it, because we won't listen to his instructions. See, Jesus has a real small voice. His voice is not boisterous. You don't hear like lightning. You know, if you look at a movie on TV and you hear God, this is the Lord our God speaking to you. No, he don't speak to us like that. God whispers to us. He tells us. He gives us, no, don't do that. Let me do this. Don't get involved with that person. You'll hear the voice. You'll learn after a while that God's voice is not some loud voice that you hear. You can hear it, but you have to be trained. And that's what I mean by letting the king in. See, if you don't let him in, he's not going to come in. The only way Jesus Christ can come in your life and be in your life, you got to let him in. You must let him in. Listen, as I always say, I got to pay bills, and I want you to listen to me. Matter of fact, I just sent the money to the station yesterday. I sent it, bam, 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 it was in there. I called the man. I said, your money's in there. It's in your bank already. I wire it right straight to the bank, and I have to pay the bills. And I thank you guys for supporting me and helping me, because I'm going to be honest with you, I couldn't do it by myself. I could not do it by myself. Keep it locked right here. Listen to this announcement. I'll be right back.
Thank you for tuning in to the Wake Up to Jesus broadcast, hosted by Apostle Lonnie Stocks. Coming to you from the Jesus Saves Ministry, 509 Evergreen Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. At this time, we would like to invite you to become partners with us, both with your prayers and your finance, so we can continue to preach the gospel. Partner with us with just a $1 a day donation. We are a 501c3 organization, so all donations are tax exempt. You can donate three ways. One, send correspondence via mail to 509 Evergreen Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Or call us at 718-574-2244. Lastly, via our website at www.tjsm.org. We can accept check, Visa, Master, Discover, or American Express cards. We can also accept PayPal via our website. Thank you in advance for your support of the ministry as we continue to spread the gospel across the world.
Funeral needs, call Interborough Funeral Service at 718-452-0101. It's located at 544 Evergreen Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. The funeral director is Mr. Manny Spouse. Tell them you heard about them at the Wake Up to Jesus broadcast.
Purchase your first home with a very small down payment. This is the time. Interest rates are historically low before it's too late. Call Jimmy Smith at 917-330-4811. We're conveniently located at 1928 Fulton Street near Ralph Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11233. Home Market Realty. Our hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Again, call Jimmy Smith, 917-330-4811, and tell him you heard it here at the Wake Up to Jesus broadcast.
Amen, amen, amen. We got to celebrate. That's what we have to do. Celebrate the Lord. We thank the Lord. We give his name praise and glory. We give his name honor because he's a good God, even on a bad day. And every time I turn around, the Lord keeps right on blessing me. He always makes a way for me. And as I told you, you have to learn to walk in that. It don't just happen. You have to learn that. It's nothing that happens just like bam. No, just like you have to learn to walk in the natural life, balance yourself, like riding the bicycle. I've been riding the bicycle since I was about three and a half, four years old, they tell me. I'm very good in my coordination and my balance. So I've been riding the bicycle a long time. I roller skate. I used to roller skate. I don't roller skate now because I don't want to break no bones, but I used to roller skate. I used to roller skate. We used to catch the school bus, and I had to roller skate right along with the school bus. I think they would go about 30 miles an hour or something like 29 to 30, and I'd be out there roller skating, right, which was very dangerous and silly, but I did it. And I could roller skate very good. But you have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to balance yourself. I've never been ice skating. Look at the guys that ice skate. I don't ice skate. I'm sure I probably could do it. I'm not going to try now, but it should be about, well, I don't know. So let me just hush myself right on up because I don't know how to do it. I've never done it. I've never been ice skating in my life. But roller skating, I did. Riding motorcycle. I've been riding motorcycle since I was, what, 15 years old? I rode motorcycle from here to North Carolina. Of South Carolina, Florida. I mean, not Florida, but I've rode the motorcycle all over. I mean, I ride motorcycle. As a matter of fact, I still have a motorcycle. I bought a brand new motorcycle in what is it, 2002. I have a 2002 Honda Shadow back there right now, Sabre rather, with saddlebags, the whole nine yards. Telephone, radio, CD player, the whole nine yards is on it. And I used to have a gold wing. You know, I used to go cross country. So, but I had to learn how to operate those vehicles. It's like I can operate a Caterpillar. Now, I'm not a bulldozer Caterpillar operator, but I learned how to operate it. I can't fly. I've never flown a plane. I'm not going to get in no plane because I don't know anything about it. But I'm telling you, anything you do, you got to learn. So the same thing with God. To let the king in your life, you got to learn how to let him in. And then you got to learn how to listen to the Spirit. The same way that you walk in the natural, you have to do the same thing in the spirit realm. You have to learn how to operate in the Spirit. You have to learn how to hear the voice of God. It's like my mother, God bless her soul, my grandmother, we could be out any place, and there are a lot of voices. And I could hear my mother say, LJ, and somehow or another that LJ would penetrate through the crowd, and I could hear my mother calling me. I could hear my mother. Same thing with my father. There's something about his voice that was so distinct. It was so distinct that when my father would call me, LJ, man, I could hear him, and I knew it was my father. Well, it's the same thing with Jesus. There is a way that you got to try to learn to hear his voice. See, letting him in is the first step. But now once you let him in, Let him rule. Let him operate. Let him control. Expect the great. Listen to this, and I'll be right back. Expect the great. I'll be right back. Listen to this. Jonathan Nelson.
Y'all ready to celebrate? Come on, get back up on your feet. Come on. Put your hands on it. Come on. Refreshing. It's playing now, unfolding. The time of your great blessing. Thank you, Darius Dennis. Come on. Nothing but victory. That's the promise of our King. To do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you ask or think.
Yeah.
right. That's Jonathan Nelson. Expect the great. Expect the great. Better days from his album 210. Better days. Expect the great. I'll tell you, you know, we have to learn to do that. See, we can say anything we want to, but until we learn how to walk in the spirit, we're missing everything. That's why I said let the king in. We can talk about this thing, but is he actually in? Only one can let him in is you. You have to let the king in. I can't let the king in for you. And then once he come in, you must permit him to operate and take control of your life. If you don't let Jesus take control, you're just wasting your time. You're coming to church, you're going to always be frustrated. You're going to always have problems. You're going to be sad. You're going to be up today and down tomorrow. But once you allow him to take over your life, you'll see a big difference in your life. Listen, I'm looking at the clock. It's about time for me to go in a few minutes, so I want to make sure I get this. Now, if you're not saved, of course, you know, always I want you to be saved. With all that I'm doing, I'm not coming here to prove to you that I know so much. I'm not coming here to prove to you that I am so strong. I'm here for one reason. To let you know the best thing that could ever happen to you is to have Jesus Christ in your life. I'm here to let you know that God loved you so much that he gave his son Jesus for you, that you could have eternal life. That's how much our Father loves us. That's my purpose of being here, is to let you know that God loves you and God is concerned about you. And he wants you saved. And if you're not saved, you're missing out on the blessings of God. If you're not saved, you're missing out on the blessings of God. And today you can be saved. You can be born again. You can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I want you to know right now, you can repent of your sins and you can ask God to forgive you. And God will come right in your life and he'll forgive you. He'll come in and no matter what you've done, our Heavenly Father will forgive you. He'll forgive you right now, right where you are, whoever you are. If you'll just come to him now, he'll come into your life and save you. That's the purpose of on this broadcast. I wouldn't be getting up 3 a.m. in the morning to come here if I didn't want you saved. I'm here because I love you and I love God. Out of all the things that I say and do, the moral of the heart of the core of it is want you saved. I want Christ in your life. Amen. You can let him come right now. Come on to him now before it's too late. In the book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, the word of God said, and this is Jesus talking. Now this is Jesus himself. He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's Jesus talking. Verse 29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Then it says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's how much God loves you. He wants you to come. He wants to ease the pain. It's so simple, so easy to come to him. All you got to do is repent of your sin. Be godly sorry for your wrong and ask him to forgive you. Then believe in your heart that he died for you, was buried for you in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, Jesus Christ got up out of the grave. Now, if you confess that out your mouth and believe that in your heart, you can be saved right now. Let me pray with you, please. Father, forgive that individual that's making up their heart, their mind now. Clean their slate by the blood of the Lamb and let them be a new creature today from this day forward. For you sent your son to seek and to save that which was lost. And I know that's true. So, Father, thank you for it now in Jesus' name. My friend, clock on the wall, tell me my time is out. Don't forget, I'll be on at 11 a.m. on the same place. But I won't be on WSNR, but I'll be on blogtalkradio.com/TJSM. And you can always call me on that broadcast at 718-574-7464. 2244. Or you can always call me at 347 while I'm on the air, 884-8850, and you'll be able to listen to the show right along with me. Also, remember, I have a telephone ministry that you can call 18 hours a day, 4 a.m. to 10 at night. That number is 213-992-4339. Good gospel music be playing all those 18 hours, Monday through Friday. All right? Now, you have yourself a blessed day, and you tell everyone that Pastor Stock said, let the king in. Let him in. He's knocking at the door. Let him in. And you know what? If you let him in and let him take control, I'll guarantee you God will take care of you. God will bless you. Yes, he will. I want to leave today with this song, Fire Baptized. Come on, let's listen to this.
Well, I'm safe from my, and I'm sanctified. And I'm Holy Ghost, and I'm fire, fire, fire,
second.